This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Dear radio listeners, the average human speaks 7,000 words a day, which is over 2.5 million words a year. For each word, we will answer to Christ when He returns to judge. Why did we speak that word? What was our goal or motive? Was it to draw attention to ourselves, to put us forward? Was it to put the neighbor down? Was it to glorify God? Was it to show love for the neighbor? Was it to speak truth in judgment? How often our words put our neighbor down, throw him under the bus, make him appear to be a fool. How quickly our speech robs God of His glory, undermines His work of saving and uniting His church, and ignores His glory as reflected in our neighbor's life. How many fires our words have started. How much happiness we have robbed ourselves of by our unkind words. And how often we have lied, deceiving the neighbor to think we were speaking truth when we were not. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover these sins, and we need His grace and power to direct us in using our tongues aright. We need His grace to speak truth in love, and we need His example. The ninth commandment of God's law teaches us not to lie, but to speak truth. God said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." This ninth commandment is found in the second table of the law. It teaches us to speak truth regarding the neighbor and for the sake of the neighbor. Jesus also enforces and exemplifies the keeping of this commandment in John 8. In speaking to the Jews, He says in John 8, verses 12 through 16, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto Him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent Me." As the conversation continued, Jesus made plain that He is the Son of God, and the Jewish leaders are trying to kill Him. Then we read in John 8, verses 39 to 45, "Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill Me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to Him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love Me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent Me. Why do ye not understand My speech? Even because ye cannot hear My word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe Me not." From Jesus Christ, then, who is the light of the world, we desire to see the light regarding the ninth commandment as it regards the right use of our tongues. The first matter to consider today is that the ninth commandment forbids lying and related sins. Specifically, it forbids bearing false witness, that is, giving a false testimony. In two situations, this prohibition applies, and yet these two situations encompass all of life. The first is that of an official investigation, either by representatives of the government, such as a policeman, a detective, or a judge, or by the elders of one's church, or by one's parents, or by anyone with authority to investigate a matter. In such a scenario, we must not lie, we must speak truth. Was the light green, or was it red? What time was it when it happened? Who hit whom first? And who had the toy first? The correct answer to these questions when we are being investigated is truth. And in such situations, we are to speak the whole truth. It is not enough that everything that we say be formally true, but we have omitted a specific detail that is also true. If our omitting a detail skews the investigation, we have testified falsely. The second situation is whenever we are speaking about a person, whether that person is absent or present. What we say about him or her must be true, not a lie, and not a mischaracterization. Do you see why I said a moment ago that these two situations encompass all of life? In these situations, we must not testify falsely. The fact is that we are likely to do so. Perhaps we hate the neighbor against whom we are testifying, so we speak to harm him. Or perhaps he is our friend, so we defend him even though he is wrong. The prohibition of bearing false witness is part of a broader category of sin called lying. To lie is to distort or deny truth in any way. Humans have invented the idea that some lies are little white lies, that some are permissible if you are crossing your fingers, that some are not bad if at least most of what is said is truth. God has a different evaluation of anything that is not the complete and whole truth. It is lie. This prohibition against lying covers every circumstance, every word we speak or write, and even every thought that I think. Even in my thoughts, I am not to believe or promote lies. In turn, lying is also a specific sin in a broader category. Remember that every commandment specifically forbids one specific sin, but by implication includes every activity or action within that category of sins. And so the ninth commandment forbids lying. But any sin committed with the mouth, any words expressing hatred of the neighbor, are included in this category of sin. By nature, we are quickly talebearers, always speaking about other people's matters. We are gossips, always ready to tell somebody else what someone else did or said. And we are slanderers. We deliberately lie about other people. These are sins forbidden by this commandment. At bottom, to say anything about another person and yet not speak it in love is a sin against the ninth commandment. The second point to be underscored today is why the ninth commandment forbids lies and what it requires our attitude regarding lies to be. Our attitude toward a lie must be hatred of the lie. And the reason is, in sum, that to lie is to show oneself to be like the devil. This is the point that Jesus was making to the Jews. He testified the truth about himself. He testified that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. In such a situation, you or I might have exaggerated about ourselves, inflated the truth, boasted in an attempt to impress. But Jesus simply spoke the truth about himself. The truth was that he was the Son of God, the light of the world, the Savior of sinners. The Jews did not receive this word about him. Was he lying when he said he was the Son of God? They said he was. Or were they lying when they said he was not the Son of God? In fact, they were. And in this way, according to Jesus in John 8, verse 44, they showed that they were born of the devil, not of God. For the devil is a liar. In heaven, as a good angel, he lied in thinking that he could be equal with God. When he approached Eve in the Garden of Eden, he lied in saying that she could become like God if she ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Today, too, he lies. He lies to you and me when he suggests that God's word is not true or reliable. He lies when he moves people to deny that Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. He even lies when he incites someone on the witness stand to distort truth. Why does Satan lie? Because he hates truth, he hates God, and he hates Christ's church. That we should be gathered into one spiritual body, that we should have peace with God and unity with each other, these things Satan hates. It follows, Jesus is teaching the Jews, that every lie is the work of the devil, and everyone who is given over to lying is a child of the devil. Jesus is speaking figuratively, of course. He means that such a person is a child of the devil in a spiritual sense. The devil does not have physical offspring. But the liar resembles the devil in that he lies, and by lying shows that the devil controls him. We speak of people acting like the devil, that is, being grossly immoral, but simply to love the lie is to be like the devil. By contrast, one who loves and speaks truth is born again of God and loves God. Jesus Christ lives in such a person, and out of that person Christ has cast the devil, so that Satan no longer has spiritual power over that one. Remembering this point must have two effects on us. First, it must make us hate all lying, so that we do not lie, and when others around us are lying, we avoid them. This means walking away from a conversation or admonishing those in the conversation when they lie or attack others. It means leaving the chat room, leaving the Facebook conversation, or leaving any other similar sort of conversation. Our nature is to stay, to find out the dirt on a person. But that is not hating the lie. Second, this must lead us to speak truth, and it leads us to seek power from God in prayer. Such a prayer is based on the confidence that Jesus has atoned for our sins, has earned the favor of God for us, that there is therefore for us forgiveness for Christ's sake, for the many lies we've spoken. But being assured that God's forgiving grace is full and free in Jesus Christ, we aren't content to go on lying. In prayer, we seek from God the grace more and more to live like Christ and show that we are His children. The third lesson that this commandment teaches, then, is that we must not merely speak truth, but love truth. And now we have to ask, what is truth? It is, of course, the opposite of the lie, but what is truth? Truth is that which God says and determines to be real. It is not my opinion or yours. It is what God determines. Therefore, truth does not change from day to day or from culture to culture. Truth encompasses statements and propositions, as well as circumstances. To put it differently, a fundamental aspect of truth is that which God reveals. He reveals Himself as true, that was John 8, verse 26, and reveals Christ as His only begotten Son, our Savior, John 8, verses 12 and 25. This truth that God reveals, Jesus says, sets us free. To deny that God exists or that Christ is God's only begotten Son is to be in bondage to Satan. He, the father of the lie, seeks to trap us in the lie. But Jesus Christ sets us free by giving us to know truth. The other aspect of truth regards the circumstances of our day-to-day life. Who said what? What happened first? And all other such matters that somebody witnessed and that an investigation seeks to uncover is also a matter of truth. Whether the light was red or green, whether the driver of the car was on his phone or not, how fast the car was going is a matter of truth. This aspect of truth is not made known in the Bible. It's not truth that is determined by God's revelation. Rather, it is truth that God determines by directing the circumstances of life. Even the strengths or weaknesses that another person has is a matter of truth. God created each of us with the strengths and weaknesses that we have. And therefore, in observing weaknesses in other people, we have to remember that God created that person, the person they are, and that we are to love them, not slander or backbite on account of their weaknesses. Now, God, who determines truth, also speaks truth. He causes his church to know truth. He uses the writing of the scriptures and the preaching of the gospel to that end. Also, he will speak truth in the day of judgment. In that day, he will add his testimony to every court case and investigation ever held throughout the history of the whole world. We are to love truth because God loves truth, and we are to speak truth so that we show ourselves to be God's children. Therefore, love truth. I'm not likely to speak truth if I don't love it. If truth is indifferent to me, I might as quickly not speak it, or I might decide whether to speak it or not based on how it will help or hurt me personally. But if God determines truth, I must love it. Love for truth will help me to be objective on the witness stand. It will keep me from wanting to testify against my enemy when he is right, or for my friend who is wrong. Only in the way of loving truth will our speech and conduct promote true fellowship with others. For lying, another way in which it shows we are of the devil, separates friends. If your spouse or children or parents or friends or co-workers know that they cannot believe or trust you, they will not desire to keep company with you. But speaking truth promotes true friendship. To speak truth is to love God and to love the neighbor and desire his well-being. Loving truth, we will be ready to speak it always, openly, readily, to mom and dad, to a judge, to a policeman. If speaking the truth puts me in jail or gets me a fine, I will speak truth. If it delivers my neighbor whom I don't like from the misfortune that would otherwise unjustly come on him, I will speak truth. This I will do in the power of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed me and us from sin and created in us a love for truth and for our neighbor. The final lesson that we learn from this commandment, now in light of John 8, is that in speaking truth, we follow Christ. Jesus Christ knew truth. He knew God, that God alone is the good God. He knew the scriptures, that what was in mankind, that apart from grace, humans are sinners and prone to evil. And he knew himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He always bore witness to truth as well. In John 8, Christ declares truth, that he is the light of the world, was and remains true, that in him alone is freedom from bondage to sin, is true, that he is the only hope for sinners, is true, he spoke truth to the Jews. He will bear witness again. He would, from the perspective of his speaking to the Jews, in a future time, past in our calendar, in that he was lifted up on the cross. He was put to death on the cross. His death also was a speech from God about truth. It would manifest the truth of God's justice on the one hand and his mercy on the other. God's justice that demands the death of his Son as our substitute if we are to be spared the death of hell. And God's mercy that provides Christ for us in order to bring us into fellowship with God again. This was the word that Christ spoke from the cross. And he will return in the day of judgment to bear witness yet again. Then he will expose sin and lies. Words of men and women that we assumed were true will be found to be false. Wrong judgment that was based on lies will be exposed. And Christ will destroy lies, the lying tongues, liars, and Satan, all in the fires of hell prepared for this purpose. This Christ we must and can follow. The blind will not. Those who do not see him to be the light of the world cannot. But those who see him as the light of the world and in whom his light shines can and will by grace. Following Christ, we will enjoy true freedom. The liar is in bondage. It might be that our lie enabled us to save face or served some other advantage. But if we do not repent of our lies, we show that we are still in bondage. For one thing, the liar whose conscience is working properly experiences guilt, which eats us from the inside out. For another, the liar who persists in lying sears his conscience so that it cannot and will not function properly. Not only does he go on in lying, but such a person is also liable to commit many other sins. Freed from that bondage in Christ, we have peace, joy, and happiness. Christ himself did, as he spoke to the Jews. They hated him and accused him of being a liar, but he knew that his heavenly Father was pleased. And we too, speaking truth, enjoy fellowship with the Father and with brothers and sisters in Christ. Radio friends, beware of the lie that shows itself around us in so many ways, but also that arises from within us so quickly. And may you and I, following the example of Christ, enjoy the peace and friendship that is possible only in the way of speaking and loving truth. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, how sinful we are, how quickly the lie forms in our heart and in our mind and comes out of our mouth, and how slow we are, even when what we say is true, to speak the whole truth and the truth that glorifies Thee. Forgive our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, and empower us to love truth, and in loving truth to love Christ, and to love Thee. For Jesus' sake, amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.